Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Better Together podcast series. I'm Joe Balin. Today, I'm excited because we have two very special guests. One we are all familiar with, Vivian Haro, our director of HR for MDS, and also Katrina Roberts, who's the director of Adult and Transition Services for the Alpine Learning Group. Hi, Vivian. Hi, Katrina.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
I'm doing good. We're excited to have you, Katrina, in talking to us and really helping us understand a little bit more about the Alpine Learning Group and ultimately some of the work that Alpine Learning Group and BD have done together. So, Katrina, before we even get started, maybe you can just give us a little bit background of what the Alpine Learning Group is.
Sure. So Alpine Learning Group, we are a nonprofit organization in Paramus, New Jersey. We started in 1988 from a need for behavioral services here in Bergen County. So we started with four students in a school program, and we've expanded to the multiple programs that we have now. So we are a full nonprofit agency, and we do everything from diagnostics and assessments to we have an education program and our adult program, as well as community and in-home services for individuals and their families who have autism.
Katrina, as Director of Adult and Transition Services for Alpine Learning Group, what is your role specifically as it relates to adults with autism spectrum disorder?
Yeah, so my role here at Alpine is I oversee our transition programs as well as our adult programs. And so those who are in our transition programs, they're between the ages of 18 to 21, they're preparing themselves for adulthood. So that program is teaching them all the skills necessary that they need to live a successful life as an adult. And then on the other side, we have our adult programs, and that comprises of a day program for adults that are 21 and older. Right now, our oldest is 41. And we also have a community supports program where we're supporting them in their homes as well as in the community on their jobs, at internships. But the focus for both of the programs really is to work towards finding employment and preparing them for employment so they learn those skills and they have more marketable skills to really compete in the workforce and be successful adults in their communities.
Awesome. Well, let me bring Vivian into this because Vivian, BD has partnered with Alpine Learning Group on various occasions. And can you talk a little bit about the work that BD is doing with Alpine and vice versa?
Sure, absolutely. Thank you. So we now for, I believe this is our third year, we've brought in Alpine learners to run our smoothie bar during April, the month of April, which is what now Autism Acceptance Month. And so we have two learners who come, I think it's on Tuesdays, for about an hour and a half, and they've run our smoothie bar and it's been very successful. But additionally, in summer of 22, we ran a summer internship program where we had six learners who came and worked and supported our corporate communications team and also supported HR in various different project work. And since then, we've had two additional cohorts that have been supporting our kitting efforts within the medical affairs team. So there's been a couple of opportunities to bring learners on board, to have them share their experience with us, and also for us to learn ways of working that are supportive and continue to develop their capabilities and skill set for the workplace.
Awesome. You know, Katrina, when we spoke last time, you had mentioned to me there's quite a disparity in the unemployment rate from what the success you guys have had in terms of how what percent you employ of adults with ASD versus the general public. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Right now, nationally, the unemployment rate for the general public is 3.8%, and that is one of the lower numbers we've had in years. But when you look specifically at individuals with autism, the unemployment rate is actually somewhere near 85%, sometimes reported at 84%, but it's been around this rate for a good number of years now.
There are many reasons for that, but you know, it's hard to pinpoint which one it is, but it's not moving very much.
And then from the perspective of Alpine Learning Group, of all the participants you have that are part of Alpine Learning Group with ASD, what percentage of those individuals are currently either in volunteering or working or some type of internship?
Mm-hmm. So our education program, our transition program, and our adult program, they all participate in community-based work experiences where our students go out as early as 16 on community-based internships. And then as they get older, the goal is employment. And so when we're looking at adults, we're looking at really paid employment. But right now, 96% of our students and adult learners are working in their communities. So they are participating in paid internships, unpaid internships, that they're gaining credit for their education requirements, and volunteering as well. So they're very active in their communities. And for our adults specifically, we have 70% of them are employed. So that's still a big difference from the national average of 14%.
Amazing. Vivian, bringing you back into the conversation a little bit, where did the relationship start between Alpine Learning Group and BD? And what is the goals for the future?
Yeah, so the relationship, I joined BD in February of 21. So the relationship, as I understand it, was our former general counsel sat on the board of Alpine and introduced us to Alpine Learning Group as an organization that we may want to partner with. So, you know, in terms of our objectives for growing our relationship, I think we've made some important inroads, but maybe small inroads so far relative to the way that we have engaged with learners and creating opportunities for them to come on site and experience what a corporate environment is like, contribute in a corporate environment. But we are looking to see how we can expand in due time to more of a corporate sponsorship and a more centrally run internship and perhaps beyond, you know, opportunities for full-time employment. But it's still very early days from a strategy standpoint to be able to really define that. So, you know, what I would say, though, is that while we've made some small steps, I think that there are some small important steps that we've taken. And I personally am really proud of the work that we've done. Katrina, I would be curious to know from your standpoint, you know, the opportunities that we've offered so far, how does that land with families? And, you know, what does success look like in terms of what these opportunities are for learners and overall?
So BD has been an amazing partnership for us. We appreciate all of the opportunities that you provide for our students. I think even the littlest thing, as you know, they feel that they should be dressed nicely to come to BD. It's a beautiful campus, so they want to fit the part. And their parents, when we first started going there, we would get emails like, "Do you see the polo that he's wearing? He's got his dress pants on, and he was fine with it, you know." And you know, he really is taking this seriously because he's receiving a paycheck for his internship. And this experience is something different than they've been able to have the opportunity to do before. You know, so having a student that's doing an IT internship with BD, that's not something that they've necessarily had before. But I think for the parents, there's so many layers of the opportunity that comes from this that, you know, they may have been told when their student was a baby that, you know, don't expect them to work, or, you know, don't expect, you know, that they would, you know, make money, you know, whatever they're doing. Because an autism diagnosis can be devastating to many families, but it's not the end. And they're seeing, you know, that there's still a lot of opportunities, and we've grown a lot in terms of what opportunities we can provide too. So there's so many layers to the paycheck and the experience that they get.
That's an amazing thing. You know, when you think about success factors, right? I mean, I guess, as you were saying, for the families, for the learners, there were some things that seemed like they wouldn't be possible or part of their experience of growing and maturing. But if you think about ways of setting these opportunities up to be successful, are there some fundamental elements, you know, from the Alpine perspective, from the employer perspective, you know, how do we best prepare for the best outcome in having these types of work arrangements?
Well, here at Alpine, we are working on a lot of those fundamental skills, those social skills, and how to identify which etiquette you're using, and you know, job workplace etiquette versus how you relate to a friend or somebody else who's in class with you. How do you talk to your boss or request time off? Those kinds of things are all the things that we're working on here. We're also working on developing their resumes and getting these experiences for them in the community so that they can experience different types of work. We've had multiple students come to us at the beginning of our transition program saying that they don't even know if they want to work, or what that looks like for them. And after exposing them to a variety of settings and different work experiences, they themselves can identify, well, I think I like this, you know, or we can help them by assessing, just looking at their general affect. Are they smiling when they're ready, you know, they're ready to leave and go to that work site? Or you know, are they not so happy going there? And some of them can tell us that. And then others, we have to have more of our observations of whether they like something or they don't. But I think as we all, you know, you have your internships in high school or college, that's really where you get that experience to say whether you like something or not and you want to pursue it in the future. So I think that those experiences for them are the biggest component for their readiness for work, that they're able to experience a variety of work and decide what they like and then have the assistance of their team to say, well, I think this is good for you too, and this is why, and helping them to identify these are your skills and this is the setting that you seem to be happiest with.
So that's great from the standpoint of the learner. And then in terms of working with the organizations, whether it's BD or many of the other local employers that you work with, how do you ensure that they're set up for success to receive the learners and foster and develop the best opportunity for them?
Yeah, so that's really a lot about the relationships that we build. So even before we started working with you at BD, we had multiple conversations beforehand. You know, what is your culture like at BD? You know, what would you expect to make sure that it's a good match for them going in there too? That, you know, if somebody, you know, if you were in an environment where you have to wear a suit and a tie, some people may not wish to wear that due to various sensory things that, you know, would be uncomfortable to them, or that's just not what their personality is, right? So having those conversations beforehand to find out more about BD was very helpful, but also then for us to share about the potential students coming in, you know, so we did a presentation with your team and said, this is what autism is, and this is how we support the students in our programs, and this is what you might see our staff doing when they're there with them. This is why they're doing it. So having that conversation from the beginning, we also shared profiles with the potential students with your team to say this is where they would do well. You know, in the beginning, we weren't sure exactly where they would go and what opportunities they would be participating in. So our sharing those profiles for our students, I think, was helpful to all of you, and understanding who you'd be working with, but also setting them and BD up for a successful internship and that everyone was on the same page.
Yeah, and I can say from the standpoint of setting up the internships, it definitely was helpful to understand both what types of work experiences the learners had had previously and what types of skill sets they had. And it was also really helpful for the managers because they want the program to succeed as well. And they want to make sure that they are welcoming the learners, that they are well aware of, we'll say the level of verbal ability, that they're well aware of, just some of the sensitivities that they need to keep in mind, given that it's a new experience. So I think that the preparation was certainly very helpful. I know when we spoke the other day, you had talked a bit about how federal programs can impact the degree of employability or the degree to which individuals can be employed. Can you talk a little bit about how that's shifting and what the possibilities around that may be?
Yes. So for a long time now, adults with disabilities are eligible for SSI, Social Security Income, and Medicaid. And Medicaid is what pays for their services into adulthood. So the services that they're receiving, the providers, so like Alpine is billing Medicaid for the services that we provide to our adults if we're supporting them in their homes or the community. Or in our day program, that's where we get our funding from to support them. But those two services go hand in hand. And the funding that they receive from SSI really is a good portion of their income. But if they work too much, they are at risk of losing their SSI. And then that also impacts the possibilities for their Medicaid funding. So it's very closely tied with the things that they really need, as well as the income that helps them to live. So they do earn a paycheck, but many of them and their families may choose to work less hours so that they don't put that check at risk. And so it's maybe possible that they could work longer hours, but they really don't want to risk the potential that they could lose that SSI and then their Medicaid and then services. But there are many programs now that they're opening up other federal programs. Like in New Jersey, there's a workability program, and that workability expands the amount that they can earn in a month. We just had somebody become accepted to this workability program just the other day. And before, he could only earn probably half of what he had. I'm not sure exactly what the number was, but now he could earn over $3,000 a month, where it was probably half of that beforehand. And now he's able to work more hours if he desires to. And his family is not concerned about him losing those benefits and supports that he needs.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think also the more visibility, the more awareness we have as a society around autism and neurodiversity in general, is going to continue to open the doors and create the interest and the demand to some extent to hire individuals, and hopefully they can continue to improve upon the services so that they don't lose the funding that they get, which is obviously really critical. I think as of something as simplistic as interviewing, for example, and so thinking about maybe some of the challenges that are, or just how it's different for an individual with autism to be able to interview. What are some of the things that you do in supporting individuals at Alpine, or recommendations that you have to employers relative to what interview processes should look like or could look like?
Yeah, so in our programs here, we do run we programs to teach the students how to interview on a job. We teach them in multiple ways, and it's individualized to them. We will go the traditional route of teaching them how to answer a variety of interview questions. These are the general, we have a list of 10 that, after some research, it's like these are probably the general interview questions that you'll receive in an interview. And so we practice that set of interviews as well as some additional ones. We also teach them how to ask questions of the interviewer during an interview, as well as what body language would be appropriate during an interview. So, how they should be facing the interviewer, or what intermittent eye contact can do for a conversation. And if that's not comfortable for them, we think about some other ways too. So individuals that we support that may not have that vocal language, we do video resumes. So there's short little 2, 3 minute videos of them at work, and somebody is a voiceover for them saying, like, my name is Joe, and this is what I'm good at, you know, and I've worked here, and I've done this, and I've done that. And the employer sees them doing those jobs as well. So that makes a big difference. They can see that, okay, I'm an advocate for them, that I'm vouching that they can do this job, but now the employer can see that. And it's something that empowers the individual themselves, that they can press play on an iPad and show off their work. You know, we have also done portfolios of work. So if there's work samples, we've taught them how to share their work with them. Or if they're using a communication device, how to say, can I show you my presentation? And then have that in exchange with the employer so that they also you can experience what it's like to work with that individual, and it sets them up from su for success in the beginning.
Amazing. It's amazing of just they're simple things, right? We're not talking about anything complicated. We're not talking about reinventing any technology, just how we utilize it to help continue to open doors. So I just think it's amazing.
And there's other employers that are doing different things. You know, they have had some employers now have portals where, like, they'll send the interview questions ahead of time and have someone record the responses and send it in beforehand. I've heard of some employers have a pre-visit before the interview so that they can see what's going on, but without any pressure, they're just able to come in and see what it's like to be there. Or they might have a virtual interview as well, rather than something in person that might be more challenging or uncomfortable for somebody.
Yeah, we did before the first internship cohort. We had had a welcome event, but also it was an opportunity to walk around the workplace and acclimate. And then ahead of the additional cohorts that we did, we had also had sort of a, you know, onboarding orientation day, if you will. And I think that just helps to make everybody feel comfortable with the environment, have the meet and greet ahead of time, and you know, really just familiarize on both sides, you know, the people and the location. So I think that's really helpful. I guess, you know, the last thing I'll just say, and I think you touched on it a little bit before, is but maybe, you know, just the impact on the individuals and the families and the feedback that you receive from your families, from the learners, and what this type of experience ultimately means for them.
We spend 80% of our lives as adults, and a big part of adulthood is employment. And if you're meeting somebody new for the first time, after your name or where do you live, probably the next question is, what do you do? And for so many families, they didn't think about that. You know, there's some research out there that we think about with children who are typically developing. We think about it at 5 years old. We're asking them, what do you want to be when you grow up? But families of individuals with autism, they have so many other things that they're thinking about. You know, they're thinking about how to teach communication skills. For some of them, teaching them their first words might be coming after 5 years old, or it may not happen. They're teaching other ways to communicate. So there's so many other things. And the age that we're starting transitioning and thinking about that world of work and what adulthood looks like is around 14. And so the research is saying that many times for people with disabilities, we haven't really been thinking about it until around that time. So we're missing a lot of time thinking about what are you going to do when you grow up. That seems to be changing now because, especially here, we're always working on looking at those, what responsibilities do you have for your student at home? Starting to work on having some contributions to the household or neighbors or other family members. But I've heard from so many parents. I've been fortunate enough that for the last 20 years, I've seen many people get their first jobs and their first paychecks. And along with that comes, well, now I can buy my own video game. I'm not asking my parents to buy it for me, or I want to make this for dinner. I'm going to go to the grocery store and I'm going to get it. Or they're not borrowing money from mom to buy their birthday gift. Like they're buying mom's birthday gift with their own money. And, those are big things. And the families too, having that opportunity to then say, like, my son goes to work, or my son is a data clerk, or my daughter works at Chick-fil-A, whichever, wherever they're going, like they have an answer to that. And they didn't always think that they would. So it's a big deal for them to have employment and a paycheck and do the same thing that you would expect any adult would be doing in adulthood.
I just got chills with you describing that. So it's so, it just it's so fundamental, and it's such a universal experience. I'm so proud of the relationship that we've established with Alpine, but I'm just so thankful that Alpine exists beyond our collaboration with you from BD, but just that there is, attention and focus and such dedicated professionals that are supporting these individuals and just giving, giving them the same access that anybody else should have, relative to employment opportunities and developing themselves. So, really, thank you for that. Joe, I'm going to kick it back your way.
Yeah, no, this was amazing to listen to. Katrina, what Alpine Learning Group is doing is amazing work. I think Vivian kind of hit it best. Just to hear the real life stories and the experience that people can get that really changes their lives in a way that they didn't imagine before is just phenomenal. And talking to you previously, where you really span the whole spectrum of autism spectrum disorder, you have some of your learners that are nonverbal to some that are driving and getting their first apartment. It's just really amazing the work that you're doing. And Vivian, the work that BD is doing as well and partnering with Alpine, really, providing this opportunity to work together. So we appreciate it. It's been tremendous, and I really enjoyed learning and hearing from you and what Alpine Learning Group is doing, and looking forward to seeing how BD can continue to grow with their partnership here. So thank
Thank
you
you.
all.
Thank you. We're very excited for our partnership is growing as well.
Excellent.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely going to keep this one going.